Welcome to Cheese, Wine, and Christmas, the magical podcast that will help you navigate the crowded world of sentimental holiday specials. Join hosts Brendan Bowes and Deirdre McCarthy as they discuss, critique, and lay bare your favorite Christmas movie tropes. So spike that eggnog and get ready for today's Cheese, Wine, and Christmas.
Okay, so on to our, is this third or fourth?
I mean, if you want to keep, if we're doing everything in order as we record, then this is number three.
Okay, which we may or may not do. So if this is the 12th podcast you listen to, it might just be.
It's the third movie we've seen.
Yes. Okay, so it's time to talk cheese, wine, and Christmas. And for those of you who've been tuning in, you know that this is our podcast where we watch cheesy Christmas movies, have a little bit to drink because you have to, yep. And then sort of discuss what is to like or dislike about the movie. Mm-hmm. Now, I think this is a special movie.
It is.
It's special because, yeah, in more way than one. So I think all of us have had the experience where we thought we were going to watch a Christmas movie and it's not actually...
Right.
I mean,
there's the movies that are very upfront and in your face about mm-hmm. it being Christmas, mm-hmm. like Elf, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Well, in fairness, so we were just scanning, looking for something that looked interesting, and we came across something called Christmas in Camino, right?
El Camino Christmas.
Yes. El Camino Christmas. And the description was about a bunch of people sort of stuck in a situation where there's maybe a holdup happening at a liquor store. What is the...
So the IMDb description is Eric comes to El Camino.
Oh, this is not what we saw. This is not what we saw. We saw the description on Netflix.
Yep, which is very more condensed.
Right. Basically, it said, you know, on Christmas Eve, a group of people are stuck together in a situation where there's a holdup at a liquor store and they all share stories and get to know each other. And we're like, oh, this is great. This is going to be awesome. This is, you know, with a little edge, there's going to be a little bit of a holdup and it's, you know. So we decide, yeah, we're going to go for it. There is nothing Christmas about this movie except
outside of
it happens at Christmas.
Yeah, there's a couple of Merry Christmases and.
Yeah, let's keep in mind that time is incredibly relevant. So I don't even know where to start with this movie. Let's start with the cast. So, Brendan, I'm going to let you tell our listeners who the... famous people. So we never heard of it. Was a movie we knew nothing about. And as the credits
as the opening credits were going, it became name after name after name after name. So the first one that stuck out for me was Vincent D'Onofrio, and we all know him from Full Metal Jacket, one of the Law and Orders.
No, CSI, right? CSI.
No, Law and Order.
It's a Law and Order. Oh, okay.
Yes, it's a...
one of those. Anyway.
And then comes Dax Shepard,
mm-hmm.
that we all started realizing
what's going on. Interesting, a couple of big names. Yep. So that's interesting. Lucky them, they got a couple of good names. And then...
It keeps on going. Kurtwood Smith, as everyone knows, is Red from that 70s mm-hmm. show. Also mm-hmm. the bad guy in RoboCop.
Yep. And then...
And then the big one, quote unquote, the big nail in the coffin, Tim Allen.
Yes, out of nowhere, Tim Allen. We're like, oh, and then a bunch of names we didn't know. And then at the very end, Jessica Alba.
Oh, yeah. Right. Jessica Alba gets the also or
right.
with.
Yes. Also and with. Yeah. So we're like, holy crap. Maybe this is actually going to be good.
Yeah.
Oh, so sad. Up. So sad. So bad. So sad.
Yeah, the opposite.
Yeah. It begins with gunfire, as all good Christmas movies do.
Yep.
Right. And, you know, we're sort of hearing this shootout at the
police
liquor store,
radio,
police radio. Yeah. So we're like, OK, they're getting right to it.
Yep.
But no, they're doing that great little trope that movies do where they show you sort of how it ends. And then they go 3 months earlier or 2 days before this or only what did they say?
39 days before.
Not only a ridiculous number for no apparent reason. But what then takes place clearly is only about 2 days worth of stuff.
Yeah, as we were watching and discussing it, mm-hmm. there's weird time discrepancies in El Camino.
Yeah, time means nothing in El Camino. So one person might run an entire day's worth of errands in the same time it takes one person to walk from the store to their car. Those things all happen simultaneously, and 39 days is gone in a heartbeat. I don't mean they fast forward through 39 days. Nope. I mean they show 2 days worth of action.
Yeah. Oh, no, there wasn't any weird cuts where they decided to move time, but...
Nope.
39 days equals one full sunrise, sunset, sunrise. Yep. That's 39 days.
So what could the story be behind this, you might ask? Well, let's see. So a dude we don't know, could be a bad guy, could be a good guy, is driving in his vintage car, as cool guys always do.
And he's wearing a white shirt, just your white undershirt.
In case you're wondering, we're signaling he's a good guy, but he's also sort of tough and Jimmy Dean looking like kind of thing, right?
Yep.
So he pulls up to the cheesy town hotel.
Motel,
yes. Oh, prior to this, we do get a quick glimpse into the law offices.
Oh, yeah, the quick exposition scene.
So we meet the town police. What's his name? Is the...
Kurtwood Smith is the super head sheriff. Vincent D'Onofrio is like the sergeant second in command.
And we learn in about 1.5 minute worth of dialogue, because it's all exposition, that they're all bumbly, that the sergeant is a bad cop that beats people up and sets people up and sets up evidence. He's getting yelled at by the sheriff, by Red, in typical Red style, by the way. It's just like he stepped out of that 70s show.
Yeah, he took a vacation.
Yeah. So he's yelling at him, basically listing all of his wrongs, so we as the audience will know that he's a drunk, that he's an abusive cop, that he's a dirty cop, and, you know, that he's just basically a loser. So we get that for no apparent reason. We get that scene. Complete exposition. Cut to the good guy, bad guy, we don't know, checking into the hotel. And the guy who checks him in is Dax Shepard, who's also a police officer. By the way, did you notice there was no explanation for that?
No, the cool guy rings the bell and Dax Shepard comes out. No one knows he's a cop just yet. He's
spitting tobacco juice into a bottle, which made me gag.
Yep. You know, I mean, retrospectively, the questions that he was asking seemed very copish.
Yeah, well, and there was a lot about the vintage car, right?
Yep.
The vintage car becomes, people ask questions about it. It's maybe, they sort of hint, like maybe it might be stolen, because when they ask him questions, he doesn't really know about it. And then, by the way, I'm just going to give you a spoiler alert. That storyline never circles back, ever.
Nope.
There's no, it there's means no reason. Nothing. There's it no means reason. Nothing. It's no, there's no cool story about why he has the car or doesn't have the car, or whose car it is. Also, his credit card doesn't work. No explanation ever, even at the end, as to why that happens.
Yeah, he's offered to pay in cash or credit.
Mm-hmm.
You find out he has the cash to pay for it, but he just immediately offers his card.
Which doesn't work. So really, this setup, him not knowing about his car and his credit card not working, is really just a plot device for the police to use later. Right. Which would be fine if the movie circled back and made a real explanation, but they never do.
Right. But to quickly go back to Dax, after Dax checks him in and he goes off to his room, Dax takes off his shirt. He also wears a white undershirt for no reason. A
lot of wife beater undershirty.
And then
he
puts on his cop outfit. And apparently that was the specific end of his shift at the hotel and beginning shift as a police officer.
Again, no explanation.
Nope.
None. Zero. Nope. So somehow bad cop, and I guess Dax by default is the good cop.
Yep.
Decide there's something very, suspicious about him, because he doesn't understand.
He's a stranger in a strange town.
Yes, it's very small town. So he's a stranger in a small town. Now, meanwhile, all of our side stories are getting set up. So just to briefly run through the side stories, there's the Mexican immigrant who runs the liquor store, you know, hard luck life, but a really friendly, happy guy.
And everyone knows him.
Everybody knows him. He's super nice to the girl who works for him, who's, of course, a single mom with an autistic son who doesn't speak. So you know there's going to be a Christmas moment miracle where he speaks. You already know that.
And the single mom also has a single mom.
Yep, who's the slutty older mom. Like, you notice? So I'm going to make an observation here.
Go for it.
So there always was a slutty character in movies. And it's become really non-PC to make like the young pretty girl slutty. So how do we get around that and keep a slutty person in? It's all MILFs now. It's all like people's moms or grandmothers or aunts who are somehow...
Starting with Stifler's mom from American Pie.
Exactly. Yeah. So everybody's suddenly humorously and ironically, and it's okay to laugh at that. So sexy single mom of her own that goes through multiple dates... Right, yep. It's really just like the other Christmas movie we watched with
Holiday,
the aunt,
yeah,
Holiday, where the aunt was going through multiple dates. Very similar trope. So now I think that's a Christmas
trope.
Could
be a thing.
Right, could be a thing. So anyway, that side story. So she's the slutty mother of the single mom who's got the autistic son who doesn't speak. So lots of drama. She works for the Mexican immigrant. She's like his right-hand person. He clearly can't do anything without her. He's always calling her in to fix the cooler cover a shift or whatever. So... those are the side characters, okay? Now, everything starts to go horribly wrong because the cops decide this stranger in a strange town, oh, missed something. We get a peek at why he's here. He's looking for somebody. We don't know who that person is. All we know is he's got a letter with an address.
And a photo, black and white photo.
Yes, and he knocks on the door of guess who?
Tim Allen,
who is not the person he's looking for, according to Tim Allen, but lives in the apartment that the person used to live in.
Total opposite Tool Time Tim Allen.
Yes.
Just angry.
Angry drunk. He's drunk. Like everything in his place is littered with bottles. And he agrees to tell Stranger in the Strange Town about the guy who lived there before, who's the guy he's looking for the price of a couple of beers.
Yep.
Because that's what happens, right? And then you do just let a strange drunk man in your car and drive him to a bar and pay for beer.
Who loads up a joint,
right?
But you don't see him smoke it.
Right. He never smokes it. He never talks about marijuana before or after that, but he has marijuana in the car.
Yeah, he just has a bag that he puts into rolling paper, and that's our knowledge that there's marijuana.
Yes. So we know there's now marijuana in the car. So while that's happening, the police have decided he's suspicious. They spotted him buying Drano, which, because of course,
with other groceries.
Right, other groceries. And they spot him buying Drano, which, by the way, he's buying because we see that his toilet just started exploding for no reason. He wasn't even like in it flushing it.
No,
he was
like watching TV or something. Yeah. And then it just sounds like the
spraying
shower.
Spraying and gurgling and whatever. And so apparently that means it's clogged, which to me, that doesn't make sense at all. But anyway, he gets Drano. They spot the Drano. They're like, geez, he doesn't know about his car. He's buying Drano. Drano is used to make meth. He's probably a drug-pushing meth whatever.
Yep.
So
they really narrowed it down.
They really narrowed it down. So now they're following him around. They follow him to the bar where he's with drunk guy he picked up in the apartment of whoever he's looking for.
Yep.
The drunk guy gets in a bar fight. Pisses our hero off.
Well, that was kind of a twist because you're led to... I feel like they make you lead to believe that the people who Tim Allen gets into a fight with are going to be the ones who eventually rob the
liquor store. Yes, because they're like such no good...
Right.
But of course, we never see or hear from them again.
No, they're all scowling.
There's a lot of introducing red herrings that never get explained.
Red herrings, that was the phrase I was trying to remember.
Yeah. So now he's pissed. He leaves the guy behind at the bar because he didn't get any information about the guy who lived in the apartment before him, except that he was a Vietnam vet. He goes to his car where he gets intercepted by our fearless policeman who discovered the pot in his car,
yes.
The marijuana that random drunk man leaves.
And the bottle of tequila.
And a bottle of tequila that he has bought earlier and swigged from in the car. So he's got tequila, Drano, and pot. And they decide that's enough to haul him in.
Oh, and the cops don't let you forget that it's Drano, pot, and tequila.
Right. They say that, I don't know, I lost count of how many times they say
that.
Well,
no, when they have him in the holding facility, they just have the bottle of Drano.
Mm-hmm.
They have the bottle of tequila and the baggie of pot. And they're like, this is why we're bringing you in.
Yes. And as they start to interrogate him, we finally understand the first scene because we see... drunk, bad Vincent. I don't know what his name was.
Carl Hooker.
Oh, nice. So Carl Hooker, drunk, bad policeman. We know this because Red Foreman told us earlier in the play, movie. And so when that happens, he starts interrogating him and he beats him with a nightstick. This is maybe one of the first super dark moments, do you think?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
We're like, okay, bumbly cops in a small
and
town.
Not like on the leg or
no,
on the ribs.
No, whacked him on the side of the head.
Face.
Yeah, and we're like, wow. So Dax Shepard does not like this at all. And when drunk hooker man leaves, he lets him escape. He right. basically says, I'm going into the bathroom. I'm leaving your keys here. Because, you know, that's what happens. And
right. right the holding cell's open. Here are your car keys.
Yeah.
I'm going into the toilet
yeah,
for a while.
For a long time. So
do what you
know,
need to do.
Yeah, right. So, of course, our fearless hero.
The hero's name is Eric.
Eric. But we don't even know that at this point yet, by the way. We
True.
We don't even know it. I mean, maybe they've said his name, but do they say his right name? I don't know.
I have no idea.
So, Eric, nobody's name seemed to matter in this at all, by the way.
Well, the liquor store guy's does. Yeah,
yes, because he's the name of the liquor store, and right. because we're making him clearly an immigrant. So, okay. So, fast forward, and, you know, he's been beaten. The side of his head is bloody, but he's escaped. He runs and he gets his car. He's just pulling out. And, of course, who does he run into?
Carl Hooker.
Carl Hooker, who's drunk as a skunk, has stopped at the liquor store, said
to verbally abuse the liquor store guy.
Verbally abuse the liquor store owner and buy booze and drink on the job openly.
Yep. But
openly,
he also bought Snickers that he didn't pay for.
That he didn't pay for.
He threw a pocket full of change. I was yeah. like, here, take it.
So clearly he runs this town, I yeah, guess is what we're getting.
Probably.
And our single mom scolds our liquor store owner for not standing up for himself. So we don't know what the backstory is about that, but he seems afraid of him.
Oh, we should pivot real quick.
Mm-hmm.
We mentioned Jessica Alba, who
yes.
is a newscaster.
Right.
Her and her cameraman are driving to El Camino for...
to cover the lamest story ever. It's some Christmas
it's like
pageant, like
oh,
run
pageant,
by
yeah.
somebody who's deaf. And it's a feel-good story. So they're covering it. She's, for no reason at all, 9 months pregnant.
Yep.
And she's small-town reporter looking for her big break. I know you can't see where this is going. It's like
yep.
totally baffling.
But we just had to pivot there real
yeah,
quick.
Yeah.
We'll go back to the main.
So she's busy doing the whole thing. She's filming this really silly kids. I
yep.
don't know. It's like the nativity thing. That's just so we know it's Christmas, right?
Yep.
So we can remember it's Christmas.
Still
by
right.
the way, everybody keeps wishing everybody a Merry Christmas and saying it's Christmas for like 2 days straight. They say it's Christmas, not
well,
it's Christmas
well, apparently
Eve,
for 39
for
days.
For 39 days, right? It's not. It's almost Christmas. It's
yep.
Christmas.
Yep.
So he's escaping. And who does he run into but drunk Carl Hooker, who chases him.
They have a Dukes of Hazzard chase.
They have
chase.
A Dukes of Hazzard chase full on. With a car going into bales of hay, the police car ends up getting knocked off the road, going into bales of hay, very Dukes of Hazzard, and he's very Boss Hogs. Like, we realize at that moment he's very Boss Hogs.
Yep.
In the meantime, he has shot, literally shot his gun straight at our hero Eric, at his car, at him, like literally very dark, nothing ironic about it, shoots him.
Yep.
And so his car dies, of course, because it's been shot, and he runs for cover into the liquor store. Carl chases him on foot now because
yep.
he's...
But we should also take a step back. The single mom brings her kid to the liquor store because the cooler is broken and the immigrant needs it fixed.
Yes.
He tried fixing it. He
right,
couldn't.
But, right. He can't. The older gentleman who runs the store and has owned it his whole life cannot fix it, but the young single mom can. So on she, and she can't leave the kid behind because her slutty mom is with
the dental hygienist
that she's picked up and is going to go bowling with.
Yep.
Right. So they're in the store.
Yep.
Also, drunk Tim Allen is in the store for no reason other than he's always in the store because he always needs booze.
Yep. It's so, also like 11 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
Or noon,
so they're all already there. And in comes running Eric, our hero, being shot at with a bloody side of his face from the nightstick. And in close pursuit is Boss Hogs, also known as Carl Hooker. And he calls in for backup as he's running. So the rest of the police know something's going on. He gets to the store and he just starts shooting.
He shoots while outside. He shoots through the window in almost a yee-haw type, like literal.
Yep, almost hits the girl, almost hits the kid, almost hits everybody. So Tim Allen, who has a gun for no reason we know, pulls out his gun and shoots the sheriff.
In the leg.
In the leg. Now, everybody's in the store. The sheriff is shot and he's trying to shoot at Eric. Not the person who shot him, but at Eric. Now, Tim Allen decides he wants nothing more to do with this. So he throws his gun that he's just shot a cop with over to Eric and tries to leave. So now Eric is the guy with all the guns and he's by default holding hostages. None of this he wanted to do.
Well, meanwhile, Hooker is yelling, why are you taking everyone hostage?
Like, yes.
He forces the hostage situation. He forces himself to be taken hostage.
Yep. And so, you know, now they're all in there and he's an unwilling kidnapper.
Yep.
And Tim Allen's treating it all like it's kind of humorous. And then the, you know, the police from hell start showing up and one goes around back and a couple are in the front and they end up hearing shots, but it's each other shooting. So nobody inside is shooting, but they are shooting the hell out of the store from the front and back, thinking they were turning fire with the enemy.
Right.
And really they're just shooting everyone.
Yep. And it sounds like it should be comedic, but the cuts make it seem like they're this close to hitting the hostages. Yep. So it becomes a wee bit dark as well.
Very dark. Very dark. So now there's a standoff. Okay, so they finally stop shooting, but there's a standoff. Our pregnant newscaster, don't forget her. She's just packing up from her nativity scene shoot.
Well, no, what had happened is, as they were calling in more local cops, the cops were at the nativity play. Yes. Jessica Alba saw them all get up and walk out. So yes. She's like, maybe something interesting's happening.
So they follow suit, and now they're reporting on it. So now it's on the national news. This is going to be her big break, by the way. So then we're in standoff situation. So everybody's inside, everybody's outside. And of course, these are the deep, meaningful confessions that happen that we were first tempted by in the description on Netflix. And somehow, now this is one of those red herrings that never gets resolved. Carl Hooker starts talking about the wonderful things he's done for both the store owner and the single mom.
Yep.
Apparently, he saved the single mom from an abusive boyfriend, and he took care of for no reason that I would ever understand, because he shows not one drop of goodness anywhere else. He took care of this store when the owner was, what was he, taking care of his
sick
dying wife or something?
Something like that.
So he kept the store afloat, and both of them look ashamed of themselves, and you think this is going to be some type of movement towards understanding that this cop wasn't always like this. But no, that's the only time we ever hear anything about it.
That's the 0.1% of him not being a huge asshole.
Right. We also learn that the person Eric was looking for was his dad, that after his mom died, he found all these letters from his dad and he went looking. So I don't know if you're with us, folks at home, but we started guessing, well, clearly the dad is in the store with him.
Yep.
So then it's, is it Carl Hooker or is it Tim Allen?
Yep.
Right, and going, we went back and forth a couple of times deciding who we might think it was.
Yeah, the writing was, air quotes, smart enough to not really go all in on either direction.
But we definitely knew it was one of them.
Yep.
So,
need to take a step back.
Okay.
It should also be noted that the single mom's child, as a Christmas gift, received a remote control car.
Yes, which he's zooming around the store. It bumps into something. It's not working quite right. The hero, Eric, or also the villain, depending on who you're looking at, you know, which way you're looking at it, fixes it for him. And he says, thank you, which is his first words. We knew they were going to happen.
Well, that was
somewhere
at the very end.
Yeah. Well, close to the end.
Yeah.
Close to the end. Yeah. So now we've all heard each other's sob stories. We're like, okay, what's going to happen next? So they decide that they're going to let everybody free. It's the only way to do it. But the cop double crosses them.
Right.
So,
the timing is so weird. I'm trying to remember it.
We don't need every detail. Basically, the bottom line is they think they're going to go out.
Right.
And the cop is supposed to express that. And instead acts as if He's about to get shot. By the way, he's been handcuffed this whole time. They unhandcuff him so that he can talk on the phone. This is a mistake because we've learned earlier that there's a gun tucked in the small of his back that he can't get to because his hands are cuffed. So the gun is in the small of his back as he's handcuffed. He gets unhandcuffed and he's talking to the police outside and he acts as if everything's going down because he wants them all to die and get in trouble because it's a super dark movie.
Yep.
And in the midst of that chaos, the store owner stands up, moves towards the windows, and they shoot the hell out of him. You assume he's dead because it's a full-on, like, 25 rounds to the abdomen, and he falls through the glass. In the meantime, Carl Hooker grabs the gun at the small of his back and shoots Eric. So his idea, of course, is to try to kill Eric and then
proclaim himself as the hero.
Yeah, make himself the hero. He doesn't care who he takes down in the meantime.
So Eric gets shot like in the side.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not, it's not critical, but he's
badly wounded. Yep. And he in turn shoots Carl Hooker dead.
Dead.
So now Carl Hooker's dead. This is very dark. So now we know Carl Hooker is not his dad. So now I start guessing that his dad is going to take the blame for him is my guess at that moment, but I didn't know for sure. So Tim Allen confesses that he's the dad. They have this deep moving heart-to-heart moment. He's like dressing his wound. We find out that his dad tried to save a bunch of guys in Vietnam and they all died and he got blamed for it. So you see the parallel universe the two of them live in.
Yep.
And they decide to let single mom and boy go. So they go. It's just the two of them in there. And so Tim Allen makes the brave decision. He wipes all of the prints off of the guns and then handles them himself. Goes out into the night. Tells them that he's left somebody wounded behind and that he...
Oh, he also brings out the cardboard cutout of the
pretty girl with beer. The beer for no reason whatsoever. There's no reason for that. They each reference her at some point, but again, red herring, it means nothing.
Nope.
So he goes walking out, he pulls both guns out, basically takes responsibility and dies by cop.
Bloody. I mean, you don't see all the blood, but
yeah,
it's a lot of gunshots.
Yeah. Slaughtered by cop. Now, this is a Christmas movie.
Yep.
This is listed with other Christmas movies. I found this one because I was looking at a really mushy Christmas movie, and this one said, you know, other movies like that.
Yep.
So, you know, then we get a weird epilogue. You know, often with these movies, we get to see what's happening later.
Going back a little bit, should be noted, Jessica Alba was pregnant. She goes into...
unnecessary labor.
Unnecessarily painful labor. She goes out of her way to say, oh my God, I'm in so much pain.
On the air at the final, like, I couldn't figure out which one was trying to be the Madonna Jesus reference. Her with her pregnancy or single mom with her autistic child. It was like they couldn't decide which way to go with it, so they just threw spaghetti at the wall.
And kept everything.
Yeah, and again, no reason. They show her going into an ambulance. We never see the end of that.
Oh, that's right. In the epilogue, right?
They don't even talk about that. So then we have the epilogue, and my favorite part of the epilogue is the time difference. So just like we had 39 days previously when we did the whirl back for the epilogue, what was it?
182? Yeah.
182 days later. I don't know why.
There's no
reason for that, but it's 182 days later.
Right. It's not like 12 days later where you could be like, oh, 12 days of Christmas
or 1 year later on the same. No, it's 182 days later. So 182 days later, we find out slutty mom is just with a new guy who's telling a dirty joke.
Right. He's like a R-rated stand-up.
Right.
Powdering his balls.
Yes. And then, you know, Dax Shepard is running for sheriff. He wants to take the place of the sheriff.
Vincent D'Onofrio.
Yeah. And what else is happening? Eric still lives there now, even though he didn't live there before. I guess he's sticking around because many happy memories in this place.
Right. Because at the beginning, he buys the single mom and the kid a piece of cake.
Yeah, so we come full circle and he buys them cake again. Right.
And but, then this time sits down and that was the end.
Yeah, but it wasn't like they were deep in a romance. It was like
awkward.
It was like they were seeing each other for the first time since the shootout.
Right, it was extremely awkward.
And who else did they
the liquor store owner didn't die.
He didn't die, but he got a huge settlement from the city. And so now he's in the Bahamas or something very young, pretty girl.
But it looked like it was shot in like overcast.
It was like overcast. And I was like, why would you want to be there?
Very uncomfortable.
Yes. Yeah. So I don't know whether any Christmas movie can top ending in Death by Cop.
Right.
But, you know, who argue about whether Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
True. Yep.
If this is a Christmas movie, then Die Hard is a Christmas classic.
Oh, yeah.
Because.
For sure.
Holy crap.
Yeah. Like with Holiday, it started and ended in Christmas. And even though there was a huge gap, it was nice enough where
about the spirit of holidays and the spirit of Christmas. Right. This was like, we've got some Christmas music and lights in the background and everybody dies.
Right. I feel, I mentioned this Deirdre, but I feel like the script was written, thrown at the table of a Netflix exec. And he's like, let's spruce it up.
Let's one more thing.
Christmas,
right? Yeah. So I feel like we've been tricked and bamboozled. This is not a fun, romantic Christmas romp. And I don't feel good after it. In fact, I feel like eating it's like a bucket of Christmas cookies and drowning it in eggnog.
Well, I'm just spiked. Single mom looks familiar, so I'm just seeing what her credits are because I want to know where I knew her from.
Yeah.
Okay.
So where is she from?
So if you've ever seen Letterkenny, it's a hilarious TV show. Canadian.
And she's in that.
She plays the lead character's sister.
Is she slutty in that?
Actually, yes.
Yeah, yeah. She looks like that's her her niche. You know what I mean? Like forever the slutty aunt, slutty mom, slutty. Yeah.
Well, no. I'm talking about the single mom.
Oh, the single mom. Oh, she wasn't slutty in this, but she was. Yeah.
But in Letterkenny, she's
okay.
Yeah.
But I do want us to pay attention going forward to that whole weird slutty older relative because it's okay to call an older woman slutty now because it's empowered and they're making a choice and they want to be that way rather than young, vulnerable. So it'd be interesting to see if that continues in our thing.
It's nice to pick up a trope like that early on so we can try to note it.
We can track it. Okay, well, on that note, I don't recommend anybody ever see this ever.
So does it beat Holiday's rating?
Oh, God. See, because I said negative
20-something.
Right? All right, so.
I mean, this is our podcast. You could change the rating system right here.
It is worse. It is worse. It's I don't even know that this has anything, like there's even a scale for how bad this is.
No, there's no merit to it. It was very.
Well, because if the writing was really good, but it just wasn't really a Christmas movie, I could say that. But the writing is atrocious.
It was all over the place.
The red herrings that have no conclusion, exposition up the yin yang, the Daffy cop thing that's so overdone.
When the cop. During the car chase when the cop crashed and that really dumb song came on that had nothing to do with the scene that was happening.
Oh my God, by the way, the musical accompaniments for this are, were they written for this movie? Because
one would have to guess.
Because they don't seem like they have any other, but God, what was the name? Does it have the list of songs in there?
I can look for it. Because, I know one was called Ballerina.
Yeah, but for no reason. It was like a tough cowboy song about blowing things up and dying and shooting and everything, but then it would say, I'm a ballerina.
Yep, that was the chorus.
Yeah, I'm a ballerina, I'm a ballerina, I'm a ballerina. I don't understand that at all. And then, was that the one that they were playing when he crashed into the...
Yeah.
Yeah, when they did the Dukes of Hazzard crash. I don't know. Awful. So what else do they have there?
Yeah, Ballerina, written by Bauman?
Oh, I don't know. I thought maybe that was Bo Berman, but it's not.
No, it's not.
It looks like it's written by an Indian gentleman.
Oh, there's maybe two versions of Ballerina in here. Okay. There's one up top and, it's written, performed by the same guy. Okay.
Yeah. It's really bad. It's really, really bad.
That makes no sense to the scene
But I do suggest you guys look it up and listen to it because it's atrocious. Let's put it in the notes because okay. people should absolutely listen to this. If I had to listen to it.
Yep, very true. Yep.
Okay. So, yeah, on that note, we are going to bid you adieu because mm-hmm. I need a lot of drinks after this particular movie. And so until next time of cheese, wine, and Christmas, happy Christmasing.
Hopefully we'll find better movies.
Yeah. So, yeah. Feliz Navidad.
Rock and roll.